This is going to sound a little defensive. It's because I am overly apprehensive about what other people think of me. I doubt myself due to low self-esteem. I am a workaholic, over-analytical ditz. I dilly-dally, I forget things I'm afraid to commit. So let's chalk one up on the board for my faults, and let's count up all the times I've come short, and let's not call me what you want. Call me anything you want. I think I know myself better than anyone else. I think I could love you. I could get used to you. I think I used to love you. But I don't do it on purpose. But as long as you're listening, I won't be quiet. I've got anger issues, I should be on a diet. But I can't even do that, 'cause I've got no self-control. I have problems saying no. I think I need to speak to a therapist. I'm an impatient escapist, egotist. So let's chalk one up on the board for my faults, and let's count up all the times I've come short, and let's not what you are.
Rakka Paloma, welcome to WUWM.
Thank you for having me.
You are a singer-songwriter from Milwaukee and are inspired by people like Ben Folds and Stevie Nicks, who are also singer-songwriters. However, a major difference between you and them is that they have worked with groups and ensembles where you are an acoustic solo set or a solo act. How do these musicians inspire your work in a way that can relate to your solo career?
Well, I really like how Ben Folds writes songs. They're very story-oriented, they're very narrative. And even though he plays piano and I play guitar, he can easily do a set by himself, whereas I can easily do a set by myself. However, I have played with bands, and I would like to be in a bigger band like Stevie Nicks someday.
Because listening to your songs, especially that last one we just heard, Critic's Choice, there is no set form. And so you're letting, it seems to me, like you're letting the story take over the song instead of trying to put the story to the song. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would definitely say that's part of my process. Sometimes the music inspires a story and sometimes it's the other way around. And I think definitely in that song, the story kind of grabs a hold and takes the rest of the song on its journey.
So then how is it different for a singer-songwriter to work with a group as opposed to working solo? If you were going to start working with a group, what challenges or what differences do you think you're going to be encountering?
When I've worked with a group in the past, what I usually tell them is this is the set format for the song, and we can add musical breaks for different solos and different instruments to be highlighted, and we can add jams at the end or longer intros, so that the music that they contribute is going to just add a certain element to the storytelling. And that has worked in the past, and I think it will work again if I get a group together.
Definitely. And I would think also, because singer-songwriters tend to only be, you know, a solo act, it would be also a little bit different to write with a group or an ensemble in mind, or is it much different?
From my experience, it wasn't very much different. The musicians I had working with me really added a lot, and it sounded great. I think it's a fine way to go about it. The only challenge is, I guess, trying to tell the story together and try to keep in mind what the important part of the song is. And as a songwriter, the story is the most important part, so the music has to support that.
But like most singer-songwriters, you're also, you're like you just said, you're trying to tell a story. Where are these stories coming from? What is your inspiration for these songs that you write?
Some of them are from my personal life. Have you ever, if you take a chemistry class, or physics class, rather, there's this saying, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Mm-hmm. Some songs, like Critics' Choice, are kind of the manifestation of that, where, you know, some situation happened and it made me feel a certain way, and so I responded with a song. But other songs are just more contemplative and, I don't know, poetic. And it's usually just me trying to sort out feelings of things that maybe haven't affected me, but they're just kind of inside and I'm trying to get them out. And those are usually the most positive songs, actually. So,
interesting. Because I've noticed also that a lot of your pieces have to do with going someplace. Like, for instance, you have your songs like called Portugal the Man, Sailing to Ithaca, The Spanish Dream, Dream Boats, and then Mantelpiece, you're talking about Taking Me With You. It seems like you're trying to go someplace, or it's about being someplace in a lot of your songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sailing to Ithaca and Dreamboats were actually part of a play. I wrote those for a play called The Penelopeiad by Margaret Atwood, and that was really a good experience because it didn't have to do with any of my own personal feelings. However, those two songs, or those two parts of the script, really, really stuck out to me and resonated with me, and I felt compelled to write something, and that's kind of what came out. A lot of my songs do talk about going somewhere. I guess it's longing for this place of, you know, unity and peace and friendship and not ever growing old and just always being happy. And that's not exactly always possible. Mantelpiece, for instance, is about memories. It's about some of my best friends that I met several years ago, and I don't know that I'll ever see them again because they live on a different continent. And it would take quite a bit of effort to go back. So I just kind of wrote that to deal with the fact that I was feeling that I wanted to see them and I might not be able to.
And heard the drum, and still I didn't see the
So your career as Rocket Paloma began in 2012, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So then how did you come upon the name Rocket Paloma?
There are a couple of different reasons for the name Rocket Paloma. One is sometimes I get a little bit feisty and fiery when I sing, and that's kind of like a rocket. And then Paloma is the Spanish word for dove. And then half of my songs are, you know, delicate and maybe more spiritual or in nature. And so I wanted to combine the two. Also, if you go onto Milwaukee Street and Wisconsin Avenue and you look at the Sunburst and the Calatrava, when the Calatrava is open, it looks like a dove being propelled by flames. And this is a sight that you could only see in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So that's also where the name Rocket Paloma comes from.
Really interesting.
It's kind of like my visual symbol for the city of Milwaukee to represent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What made you interested in becoming a singer-songwriter? I mean, was it kind of that imagery of just kind of getting out there and saying your piece as a dove that has a lot of fire behind it? Or what got you inspired to follow this path?
Well, truthfully, I kind of stumbled upon it. I studied theater in college, and I mean, I took music classes. I played clarinet, and I was in the choir, and I was in musical theater productions. And then one day I bought a guitar and I found out that I could write songs, and it seemed like a really good outlet. And I just kept on writing songs, more and more and more of them. And so I decided, well, I'll just perform them, and people seem to like them, and I like the people in the music community. So it just kind of kept on going, and I hope that it continues to keep on going. It was an accident.
And how did the theater background influence the way you write?
That is a very good question. A lot of my songs are very narrative. They tell a very specific story. And for the ones that aren't specific stories, the music is very specific to a feeling that the audience might get. And I try to structure everything so that there's like an arc, a story arc, whether musically or poetry-wise. So by the end of the song, the audience should get it, you know, what it was about. It's not just background music. It was, you know, you're supposed to take something away from this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're really painting a story, especially through the music kind of almost tricks in a way that you're doing it. Because, for example, going back to the Critics' Choice, you go wrong. Like there's a space before you say the word wrong. And it's just like everybody's attention is going to be right there when you say wrong. And then you really pick it up. And you're just going faster and faster and faster. So I think that's really interesting how you paint the imagery with sound as well as using the words, too.
Thank you.
So you've also been involved with writing experiential music for Carroll University under your alter ego or your pseudonym, Joanna Kerner.
That is my actual name.
What? It is? No. So what is experiential music?
Well, that was a very interesting project. It was with the Milwaukee Opera Theater. And Jill Anna Ponasek, the artistic director, commissioned me to write a piece about the story of Orpheus and Eurydice. And since my work is very story-based, I picked a specific moment of the story, which is when Orpheus goes to Hades to request the hand of Eurydice back because she has gone to the underworld, and he's very saddened by this. So that moment in the story inspired me to write this song around it. And then we performed that 2 winters ago. So not this last winter, the winter before. And then we did another installation, the final installation of the Eurydice project, and it culminated into the Eurydice Festival. And what we did was we took that song and we built upon it with movement, a movement piece by the Carroll College students. That it took about 20 minutes, and it was going to culminate in the song. But for the first 15 minutes, we had to create kind of a very avant-garde movement piece, and I had to come up with music that would lead up to the song. And with the help of Danny Brilo, the director, we accomplished just that. So I just kind of composed new things that would lead up to the song that I composed last year.
Is writing experiential music easier than writing the songs for Rocket Paloma, or does it not really compare to it? Is it Are they two different things? Or what comes easier to you?
Writing the experiential music actually wasn't very hard. I just kind of had, you know, creative free form going on, and then I kind of got a pattern that I wanted and that seemed to work. Writing a song where you're writing a story, or you have a specific structure, or if you have a song that you want, that you need words that are going to make sense with what the music is, that's a little bit harder because it has to be just right. You know, in experiential music, it's more free-flowing and creative. The things that other people do, like suggestions that the director makes or things that the students do, might inform what you might want to do next. So it's more of a give and take, whereas I'm writing a specific song, you know, I feel like it has to be just right. So it's harder to close the deal.
Because with the theater pieces, you're representing the entire theater cast, whereas the singer-songwriter, you're representing yourself.
Yeah. When I write a song, it's very much about what I want to say and what I want the audience to hear or feel. And when it's with the whole cast, it's very much a collaborative effort.
So did your two composing outlets influence one another? Were you bringing in things and ideas and methods from Rocket Paloma, or did the experiential music start to leak into Rocket Paloma? Was there any hybrid going on?
No. In the experiential music, there was a little bit of Rocket Paloma. I did, like I said, I plotted out. Like, I found patterns that worked. However, they would change, slightly once the movement piece started, and I wanted to kind of play off of what they were doing. But I had, it was like connect the dots. Like, I had these dots that I needed to hit, and I could wander a little bit in between them, basically.
So, in a way, then it's almost improvisation?
Yes, structured improvisation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. Kind of like jazz, where, you know, you could play whatever melody that you want, mm-hmm. but you have to make sure you're hitting this chord progression as it goes on, so that you're lining up with the supporting band.
Right.
Yeah.
In this case, it was movement.
Yes, exactly. Movement. So we're going to hear one last song, Bangarang. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us just a little bit more about that?
When I was growing up, the Steven Spielberg film Hook really inspired my life. It's been my favorite film since I was a kid. And so I just kind of wanted to write a song about that, it starts off kind of meditative and then kind of flies away into this fun, optimistic thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really just inspired by the movie Hook.
Because as we listen to it, you sing about the shadow that follows you around. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me a lot of that Peter Pan that you were saying. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocket Paloma, thank you so much for being on WWM.
Thanks for having me.
Chico's protector of the lost. Come with me, 'cause bravery is something you can trust. I need to see you near to me wherever I go. Without your shape, I am only a ghost. Night falls, you're missing now, and I am. I command you, follow me, dear shadow. Toe to toe, thread the needle. Kiss me, sweet, with thimbles. Twin hearts meet, we will never grow old. Thank you. we go.